Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we are on the air. We are thanking God for everything God has done for us. And one of the things I can say and believe what God says, I am available. I am available. As I call unto the body of Christ, let us go in prayer before him so that we can get God's blessings. Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that is in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, we come in your name asking you for everything tonight that we said thank you. Tonight that we take humble heads and hearts and say thank you. Tonight we take humble hearts and say we love you. Because it's you. It's you, O Father, and we thank you. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done. I love you. I praise you. I love you. I need you. Amen. Father, give us the strength we need, a sound mind, a clean heart, and a good understanding in this life that we now live, that we may be found not wanting before we stand before you. I ask you this day that you will continue to raise up the righteousness in me and others as we believe. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing right now. Without you, we could do nothing. But I praise you. But I love you. I adore you. And I magnify your name. It is you, Father. It is you. I thank you once again. Tonight's the night that we hallelujah. Tonight's the night that we say praise the Lord. Tonight's the night that we say hallelujah and praise the living God. I pray for my son, my daughter. I pray for their husband, their spouse. I pray for my grandson. I pray for everybody on my side. And I praise you. And I thank you. And I adore you. And I magnify your name. It's you I just give thanks for the many blessings that you have brought to us. And where you bring us to, Father, we say thank you. We love you and we adore you. We magnify you. Your name is above every name. Tonight that we just want to just give you the glory and praise for all the words that are spewed out of these bodies. May these bodies be sanctified. May this body be holy. May they have an attitude of righteousness. So we want to thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hello. Look here.
Hello.
This is Newsom. Can you hear me?
How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
Good.
I tell you, one of the things that sent Jason email, one of the things happened was I just bought a new phone.
Uh-huh.
And I got some old stuff mixed up with it, and I went on the radio station. I couldn't even find your number to send you nothing. They took all the numbers and they didn't put them all back in there. But I got your number here now. And
okay.
Jason's gonna come on. So can you come back? You want to stay? Want to come back in 30 minutes and stay on while we're on?
Oh, okay. I'll be ready in 30 minutes.
Okay, well, that's good. God bless you.
Okay, but I just listen on.
Okay. Jason, okay. Go ahead. Amen. Hello, Jason.
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Well, you got the word. It's yours. Go ahead and say what you got to say. Let the Lord use.
Amen. While I'm on, I also want to say good evening to Apostle Newsom. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing real good. It's good to be with both of you this evening.
It's good to be with you. I'm ready to hear the great word God has.
Amen. Well, first I want to say, again, I'm very thankful to be on the show this evening and share what God has for us this evening, what he's revealed to me to share. For our listening audience, I want to say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that God may give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what he has for us today. I'm going to open with 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 16, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. So we'll start with 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Verse 13 reads, "Then who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks of you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, they be ashamed." And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, why is suffering? It's a question that every Christian should be thinking about as we go through our daily walk. Why is suffering a part of our Christian walk with God? There's, you know, we have so many aspects and attributes of our walk with God, but suffering is a part of it. And here's a couple reasons why Christians need to understand. Because, you know, we get a lot of folks, you know, we get saved, and, you know, we have folks that tend to believe that, you know, I'm saved and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and all my trouble is over. Everything is all good and nothing bad is going to happen. I ain't got to go through nothing. All is going to be well. And what they don't realize is that when they got saved, two things happened. Number one, the devil stomped his toe and pissed off. Okay?
That's right.
They lost one. The second
That's
thing
right.
is you become public enemy number one. So there is some, but the good news about it is everything that he's allowed to do is God-built. Okay, he does nothing without God's permission, and God allows some of those things to go on in our life to draw us closer to him. So suffering, in Christ's sake, is just a part of our Christian walk, and here's a couple reasons why it is. Number one, it presents opportunities to lean on Christ and discover who he is in our lives. Amen. It's an opportunity for us to lean on him and discover who he is in our lives. A lot of times, it's, you know, we don't experience God in the same way when we're in our comforts of our lives. But it's when the valleys come in our lives, when we have to cry out and need him, that's when we discover more intimately who God is. So, again, number one, it presents opportunities for us to lean on Christ and who he is, not who we are, but who he is in our lives. Suffering is a part of our Christian walk because it proves the genuineness of our faith. Okay? Our faith gets proven in these situations. It proves the genuineness of our faith. And through suffering for his name's sake, our faith is strengthened. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, but now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So it tests the genuineness in our faith because the result all by faith being tested through the fire, it says it, it may be found that with the results of our increase in faith, some praise and honor and glory with Jesus Christ that should come out of that, should come out of that. And so there is also a reason for some of the suffering. And one of the other reasons that should be one of the obvious reasons that suffering is a part of our Christian walk is because Jesus said we would endure trials in his life. He said so. He spoke and said so. John 16:33, when he talks to the disciples, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So Jesus didn't just leave the tribulation out there, but he let us know that if we keep our eyes focused on him, because he's overcome the world, we become overcomers of any trials and tribulations we have in our life through him. So today we're going to talk about our faith in suffering. We're going to talk a little bit about our faith in suffering using these scriptures. So as always, we're going to dissect these opening scriptures piece by piece. Again, so going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we're going to take this chunk and we'll read it again. Verse 13 says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Now, reading verse 13 again, it says, "Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" What is verse 13 telling us? What is verse 13 telling us? Well, let's talk about first, what does harm mean? Okay? See, God is with us, and no one can snatch us out of the internal security that of God's love and salvation. Okay?
Yes.
So we need to understand that when he says, "Who is he who will harm you?" He is talking about an eternal matter, a spiritual matter. Not necessarily somebody will offend some. He's talking about a spiritual matter. No one can harm you. And let's go ahead and support that in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And in John 10, chapter 28, he says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands." Amen. So it is a call to stand boldly for God and our witness in Jesus Christ before men. That's what it is. And to know that eternally we're secure. Eternally secure. Even though people can harm us and say things about us, even put their hands on us. I mean, if you read the book of Acts, you see a lot of physical incidents that the apostles went on. But they held fast to what they believed, and they realized they were eternally secure. And what was going on, they were just hold fast to their faith. They would earn the crown that was waiting for them if they endure to the end. And so when you read, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" it is a call to stand boldly for God and our witness in Jesus Christ, and that we're secure eternally in Christ. So why is there a strong connection between suffering and sharing faith? Okay? There is a strong connection between suffering and sharing our faith. Well, number one, the message of faith will be offensive to some, which results in persecution and rejection of what we believe. So if you're a person that don't like nobody to say nothing against you, you don't like people hating you, you want to, as I call it, bow down to the god of political correctness, and all those things, you're going to have a hard time sharing the faith of Christ. A very hard time. A very hard time. And so, but God assures us, and he tells us, there is a connection between suffering and sharing our faith. The second thing is, it is difficult to suffer for something you do not believe in. We have a lot of people professing to believe in a lot of things, but let the suffering come forth, and you'll see exactly where they stand. Exactly where they stand. And I think that's what makes what the apostles did in the Bible so powerful. Because, you know, they was with the Lord for 3 years. with the Lord. They had their doubts along the way and different things they struggled with along the way from the time he went to the cross, but he went to the resurrection. And when you study how they died, all except for one, the gruesome deaths that they went to, the question has to be asked, what in whose mind would go to some of these deaths? And let me explain to you why they took. They had to see him when he was resurrected. They had to see him. See, you don't go to your death like that on a lot. Okay? You go because you know it's the truth and you believe in everything that you've been taught because you've seen, they saw him. They saw him when he was resurrected. And all it did was confirm what he always had been telling them. And therefore, because of that knowledge that they grew in the Lord, they took that produced love, a type of love in them and a fire that was brewing in them that no matter what it cost them in the physical world, they was willing to suffer what they had to in order to ensure that the charge they were given, that they were able to share their faith. And they began to understand that there was a connection between sharing their faith and suffering. They was going to suffer something. But the suffering was a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. And the sharing of the faith is an eternal thing. And so sometimes we have to keep that perspective. We have to change our thinking a little bit when we say we're Christians and we want, and it's not that we want to, but we're called to spread the gospel. It's a call, and it's not a preference. It's not a recommendation. That's what we've been called to do, no matter where we are. So there is a strong connection between suffering and sharing our faith. In addition to standing strong in the midst of suffering, we're also commanded to be ready with the defense of our faith whenever necessary. Amen. So that takes us into the next portion of scriptures in verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who avow your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So what is God telling us here in these verses? What is he telling us? Apostle Peter is communicating a couple things about suffering of our faith. He's communicating a few things about followers of Christ who suffer because of their faith. Number one, since we make Christ Lord in our life, we say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I believe in him. I profess with my lips and I believe in my heart. That when we make Christ, when we say that he is Lord in our life, we should be able to understand and explain why we believe he is Lord. Why? You know, we have Christians walking around right now that if you ask them any basic things about who Jesus was, they don't have a defense. They don't know sin because they're not in the relationship they should be. But God calls for us to be ready to make a defense, to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks us what we hope in. So, again, since we make Christ our, since Christ is our Lord and Savior, we should be able to understand and explain why we believe that he is Lord. And that understanding and knowledge of God only comes through relationship. It does not come through religious practice. It does not come through going to church on Sunday, sitting down, but there's a relationship that goes along with going to church on Sunday and being with the saints. There must be relationship. That is the most important aspect of a Christian walk. And then out of that comes the desire to want to go to church, the fellowship with the saints, the desire to want to go serve, the desire to want to go support your leader, the desire to get out of ministry. That comes out of the relationship. They're not turned all the way around. They're not turned around. So it takes a relationship. So that way we are able to understand, explain why we believe he is Lord. Number two, early Christians face suffering, insult and injury for sharing what they believe. Peter encouraged them and us to use those times as a testimony in our hope and peace. And so a lot of times we'll go through things and stuff like that, and people are watching not only how we deal with the more pleasant times in our life, but people are also watching us to see how we deal with suffering, how we deal with things when things are not going well, how we deal with things when we're in the valleys of our lives. Okay? And so when we're in those processes, that's why the relationship with Christ is so important, because that way we are able to use those opportunities as a testimony for our hope in who Jesus Christ is. Thirdly, he cautions those of us that are prepared to make such a defense for our faith that we do so with gentleness and respect. What does he say at the end of that scripture? He says, in verse 15, he says, be always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So testifying about Christ, you shouldn't be all out there and cussing people out there feeling like because somebody offended us and made us mad. With meekness and fear, with gentleness and respect. So, with that statement being made of how we give our defense, what does it look like to share the gospel with gentleness? What does that even look like? Okay, we see the scripture there, but what does it look like? Well, number one, we don't beat people upside the head with the Bible. Okay? Christ is not forced on us. The gift of salvation is a gift. It was offered to us. And God gives us free will to accept him or reject him. And so we don't beat people upside the head with the Bible. Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, he says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Amen. So we got some action words in there that Apostle Paul gives us. He said we must not quarrel, we must be just at all, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. And it doesn't say if we perhaps will grant them repentance. No, it says if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. So we play a role, but the Holy Spirit has a bigger part of the equation. Okay, our job is just to do what God asks us to do in the arenas, in the situation he asks us to do things. But it's God that provides the increase in that situation. And if we get all in the flesh, get pissed off and get mad, we not only ruin our witness, but we ruin a perfect opportunity to witness about Christ. Amen. What does it look like to share the gospel with respect? Again, go back to others. God gives us free will to choose him. We also respect the person's God-given right to accept or reject our witness to Christ. Because we have to realize we do what we're supposed to do. We're in the doing business as Christians. We're not in the results business. God is in the results-based business. If we would spend most of our time being in the doing business, then God will continue to do. We let God worry about the results. So even if they reject, seem to be right in our face, reject what we said, that doesn't mean it's over. You know, all we're doing is spreading those seeds and delivering them to them. And we get out of the way. And then when God is ready to draw them, he will, and the Holy Spirit will remind them of those occurrences in their life when God was trying to speak to them. Amen. All right, lastly, what does it look like to share the gospel with a clear conscience? A clear conscience. What does it look like to share the gospel with a clear conscience? Well, we should be practicing the righteousness of Christ that we are proclaiming to someone else. In other words, as it's commonly said, we should be practicing what we preach. Amen. I struggle sometimes where, you know, your focus, you know, you get up there and I tell my wife all the time, I say, you know, some people just seem like they don't fear God. You know, to get up there and preach and all this stuff like that, but then living a double, normally practicing living a double life. And so to have a clear conscience about what we're boldly confessing to someone else, we should be practicing what we're preaching. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving ourselves. So we honestly think we can just you know, get up there and teach or witness to someone, but we don't believe what we're saying ourselves, or we're not even doing what we're telling them, what we're trying to encourage them to do, we deceive ourselves. And so we should not only ourselves are supposed to be doers of the word, not only hearers of the word, but we should be doers as well. Last section. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, read that earlier, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We should equip ourselves to suffer well as Jesus did. What are some recommendations to prepare us to suffer in his name? Keyword, in his name. What are some things that we can do to prepare ourselves? Well, number one, you should be a follower of Jesus Christ who suffered for it. You need to be saved. You know, amen. I remember working in a ministry where we took phone calls for people that were struggling with various things, and they called to get advice through the word. And I listened to this woman talk about her soon-to-be fiancé and all the struggles he was going through and whatnot. And as we counseled her for a few days, we came to the God revealed a very important fact as I listened to her. And I asked her, I said, well, I have a question. We talked a few days about all these things this brother is struggling through. Is he saved? And she said, well, you know, he grew up in the church and this and that and his mama and them and stuff like that. And I said, well, and I listened to her again. I asked the question again. Is he saved? Well, you know, Big Mama and them going and this and that, you know, and he said he know who God is. And I asked her one more time, and I said, is he saved? And it was quiet. And she realized something. And I told her, I said, at this point, all the things he's been doing, all the stuff that everybody's complaining about, those things mean nothing now. I said, the most important task right now is prayer that God will draw him to salvation. Because, see, without the Holy Spirit as an advocate for him, then all the things we're doing don't mean anything. So if we're going to be following God and getting out there and serving him, and which is going to include some suffering, if you're going out there, you need to be saved. Okay, you need to be saved. Secondly, we need to adjust our attitude to match the one who suffered in the flesh for us. We should expect some suffering and not act put out by every inconvenience. Let me say that one more time. We should adjust our attitude to match the one who suffered in the flesh for us. We should expect some suffering and not act put out by every inconvenience. If we want to read some scriptures on long suffering and how and what God says about how we love people through doing things, we can spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And God completely lays out what loving people is really all about. And lastly, what are some things we can do to prepare us to serve in his name, to deal with some suffering in his name's sake? We need to change our focus. We need to change our focus. Instead of focusing on our desire, which is rooted in physical pleasures of his life, we should focus instead on living in the freedom he has given us from sin. And so we think about all the things that God is doing in our lives, and we profess and we believe and we say that he is our Lord and he is our Savior, then, you know, Jesus says something very important to his disciples, and he says, no servant is greater than his master. In other words, what he went through, those are some of the things we're going to go through. Now, the only thing we can't do is when we die, we're not dying for the sins of the world. That's been done. But at the same token, we're going to go through some things because as soon as they persecuted him, they will persecute us. And so we're going to deal with those things. And another thing that I challenge us is that we need to ask God to evaluate. Because we go through a lot of suffering. There's things we suffer through, but not all suffering is a result of being in his name. Some of our suffering is because we got in the flesh. Okay? We went and cut somebody out at the Catholic when they come against me because I stand for God. No, you got in the flesh and cussed out the person at the Catholic. That's why they don't want to let you in the AGB no more. You didn't pay the bill. Okay? You don't pay the bills, they turn off power. So now every struggle we go through is because it's in Christ's name. So we need to ask God to, when we're in that prayer and that relationship, to help us, ask him to help examine our lives to make sure that that we're suffering for doing good. Now, sometimes we're going to suffer for doing things we shouldn't do because we're not working. But we have a standard that God set out there that we should strive for as Christians. And if we depend and lean on Christ, who set the example for us and serving God, then we know that we are eternally secure in everything that we're doing. Even though we go through some things that separate this world, that we will be with him in heaven and earn that crown that we strive so passionately for. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, Jason, and the Lord be with you, and the peace of God be with you. And I tell you, every so often, there's always a zibbit, I call it. But if you just keep the faith, you will come overcome. And what you thank God for it. It blessed me more than one word. Much word, many words. And we just want to continue to press on into the Lord and say thank the Lord. So, God bless you. Dr. Newsom, you're on the line with me?
Yes, sir. I'm on the line. How are you doing, Apostle?
I am blessed the Lord. And you?
Doing great, man. I tell you, Apostle, God is good.
All the time.
He is wonderful, and he's doing some great things for us.
He is. And one thing I would say to you is I know that when I went and got a, I'm just going to be honest, I'm not complaining, but I'm praising God. I got a new phone given back to me, and all of a sudden they removed a lot of the phone number. So I went back and I said, what y'all do with my numbers y'all lost? I said, I got to memorize. You got to memorize? I said, yeah. A, B, C, D, F. I said, that's how I did it. So I got a lot of the numbers back, but I want to thank God for Jason being there and Dr. Newsom. I know that God has given you a great word. Give it to us, please.
All right. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I tell you, we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I thank God for another day. I tell you, God is good, Apostle. He's a good God. He is a wonderful God. I tell you, he is a wonderful God.
He is.
Tonight, the message that Yahweh has given me is how to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
How to be led by the Spirit. One of the most important things that we can do is to be led
by the Spirit.
And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In Hebrew, it's the Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh.
HaKodesh.
In Hebrew, it's Ruach HaKodesh.
Ruach HaKodesh.
That's the Holy Spirit. How to be led by the Spirit. My Father, please bless this word. Please cause it to encourage and enlighten your people. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led, we need to be led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are to be led by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're to be led through our inward man, The Bible lets us know in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Who we really are, we are a spirit. We are a breathing spirit. We are a spirit. We're made in the image of Almighty God. And God is an invisible spirit. He is an invisible spirit. We are spirits. We are spirits. We have a body. I mean, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, God placed us in a body in order to function in this earth realm, on this earth. So he put us in a body, but who we really are is we are a spirit. And in every born-again believer's spirit, once they get born again, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, moves into their human spirit, and he wants to lead us. He wants to lead us from on the inside. He wants to lead us. Now, the scripture in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 clearly shows us that. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 shows us that. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Let me read that again. The spirit of man, talking about the inward spirit, the human spirit. Sometimes you'll see in the Bible that our spirit is called the inward spirit or the inward man or the spirit man, talking about the human spirit. Now, what this scripture is saying in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, God is saying that he will enlighten us, he will guide us through our human spirit. God is on the inside of every believer, according to Romans chapter 8. He's on the inside of every believer, every born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of them. The scripture tells us that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see, when a child of God is born again, when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of their body, moves into their human spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, he leads us and he guides us. He tells us which way to go. He says, turn left. We need to be led and turn left. He tells us to turn right. We need to be led and turn right. He tells us to stop. We need to stop. He tells us to go. We need to go. We need to listen. We need to listen. Number one, I'm talking about how to be led by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Number one, we need to listen to the inner witness. We need to listen to the inner witness. Now, what is the inner witness? The inner witness is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And we need to listen. And I found out through the scripture, and I found out in my own life, that if we listen to that inner witness, good God Almighty, he'll make you rich.
Yeah.
He'll make you rich. That word rich means to be abundantly supplied. He'll make you rich if you listen to the Holy Spirit. If you listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, he will lead you until you become abundantly supplied. If you could talk to Abraham today, Abraham, the father of many nations, if you could talk to him, and he would tell you, yeah, if you listen to God, he'll make you rich.
rich.
He'll cause you to be abundantly supplied if you listen to God. And the Ruach HaKodesh is God. He's nothing less than God Almighty. He is Yahweh. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is God. He's not like God, or he's not a part of God. No, the Ruach HaKodesh is God. He's God. And if you listen to him, if you be led by him, he'll make you rich. He'll cause you to be abundantly supplied. Abraham became rich because he followed God. God told Abraham, leave your people and leave your kinfolks and follow me. And he said, I'll make you great. I'll make your name great. And I'll cause you to be a blessing so that you can be a blessing to others. What was God telling Abraham? His name was Abram at the time. He said, what was God telling Abram? He said, Abram, if you follow me, if you let me lead you, I'll make you rich. I'll make you so rich that you'll be able to be a blessing to others. So as many as are led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. And if you let him lead you, those who are listening to my voice through radio, if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, he'll cause you to be abundantly supplied. He'll make you rich. Now, how does he lead us? How does he lead us? I heard God talk to me one time. He spoke to me, and I woke up my wife, and I said, sugar, did you hear that? And she said, no, I didn't hear anything. Well, I come to find out from reading the word, it was an inward. It was the inward witness speaking to me, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and it was so clear, I thought it was coming from the outside. But he speaks to us. He leads us through that inner witness. He is the inner witness. We need to listen, number one. We need to listen to the inner witness. The inner witness is the Holy Spirit of God. The inner witness is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. The message is how to be led by the Spirit. And I said that if you let the Spirit of God lead you, he'll make you rich. He'll cause you to get to the point where you are abundantly supplied. Look at Abraham. Look at Genesis 13, verse 2. We see in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that God told Abraham to follow him. And God said, Abram, if you follow me, I'll make you great, make your name great. I'll bless you so that you can be a blessing. Then you go over to Genesis chapter 13, and you'll see that because Abram followed the Holy Spirit, he followed God, he became rich. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He was rich because he took out following God. He was led by God. And because of that, he became very rich. And so what I'm telling you, if you listen to that inner witness, who's the inner witness? Who's the inner witness I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. He's in every born-again believer. He's in your inward man, in your human spirit. He's in there, and he wants to lead us, but we got to listen to him. When we listen to that inner witness, he'll lead us to the point that we become abundantly supplied, that he'll make us rich. He'll make us rich. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, according to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the scripture says that the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and it added no sorrow to us. The blessing, and I tell you, the Holy Spirit is a blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he added no sorrow with it. If Amen. We listen to the Holy Spirit, if we're led Amen. By the Holy Spirit, who is a blessing, he'll lead us to the point where we are abundantly supplied, that we're rich. The Bible tells us in 3 John, verse 2, that he desired that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. This is God's desire for us. This is his greatest desire for us, is that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So you can see all throughout Bible history, Apostle Hunter, you can see throughout all Bible history that those men and women that would listen to the voice of God, I tell you, he would prosper them. He would prosper them if we would just listen to that inner witness, and he'll prosper us. Now let's look at John chapter 16, John chapter 16. The first point is listen to the inner witness. Listen to the inner witness. The inner witness
to be able to fellowship with
is the Holy Spirit.
Look
at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 verses. John chapter 16.
16.
John chapter 16, 13 through 15. The scripture says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Talking about the Ruach HaKodesh, he will guide you into all truth. I'm talking about the inner witness, the Holy Spirit. We need to listen. We're learning how to be led by the Spirit. Number one, we need to listen to the inner witness. He talks to us. He guides us. He teaches us things. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. How to be led by the Spirit. John chapter 14.
Teach, Apostle, teach.
John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 16 and 17. Yeshua says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Another comforter.
That he may abide with you forever. I'm in John chapter 14, verse 16 and verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Yes.
Go down to verse 26. Go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, he teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. He leads us. He guides us. That inner witness. Who is that inner witness? I remember when I was out on the street. I was a back-splitting preacher. I'm talking about some years ago, about 13, 14 years ago. Where it's been longer than that. Good God Almighty, it's been a while. It's been about, 18, 19 years ago. But anyway, I was a back-splitting preacher, and I went back to the streets. But you know, while I was out on the streets, that inner witness, I could hear him. He would tell me, don't go around that corner. Don't go around that corner. Don't go into that crack house. Don't go into that crack house. And sure enough, I would listen to that inner witness, and I would hear about that house being raided by the police later on that night. You see, God protected me. If we listen to the inner witness, he'll protect us. He'll save us. He'll save us from danger and keep us from hurt and harm. If we learn to listen to the inner witness, if you listen to the inner witness, he'll make you rich. He'll lead you into being abundantly supplied if you listen to the inner witness. And that's what he wants to do. John chapter 10, verse 10, the scripture says, the thief cometh nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua said, I come to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly. You see, Yeshua wants you rich. That word rich means to be abundantly supplied. Everyone might not be a millionaire or a billionaire, but we sure can be rich. We can be to the point where we are abundantly supplied, having more than enough. Not struggling to pay your bills, not struggling to pay your mortgage, No, you're abundantly supplied. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. Good God Almighty. But what do we have to do? If we want to be rich, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. I tell you, God wants you rich. He came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He also wants you healthy. He wants you wealthy. He said that with his stripes you are healed. He don't want you busted and disgusted. He don't want you walking in lack and sickness and disease and poverty. He wants you to be abundantly supplied. He want to make you rich. And if we listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, he'll lead us to the point where we are abundantly supplied. We're rich. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The scripture says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, with our human spirit, that we are the children of God. You see? There's the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. He's on the inside of every born-again believer telling them, hey, you're saved. You're born again. You have passed from death to life. Just God Almighty. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We need to listen to the inner witness. I know we're busy. We have busy schedules. We all have busy schedules. But we need to take time to listen on a daily basis to what the Ruach HaKodesh is telling us to do. We need to be led by the inner witness. Who is the inner witness? The inner witness is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to lead us, and we know his voice. We know his voice when we talk to him. And, you know, I can't give you 3 points on knowing the voice of God. All I know is that you know his voice. The scripture tells us in John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, the scripture tells us that his sheep know his voice.
No.
We know his voice, and a stranger we will not follow.
No, no.
That's John. We know it. We know his voice. God's voice is distinctive. It's distinctive. You know it when you hear it. I can't explain it to you. I just know when I hear God. I know when I hear Yahweh. And he says in John, he says, look at John chapter 10. Let me show you in John chapter 10. I can show you in the scripture. We just know his voice. Just like children, mothers know the voice of their children. We know his voice. Look at John chapter 10 and verses 4 and 5. The scripture says, Yeshua says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see,
Amen.
We know the good shepherd's voice. We
Amen.
Know Yeshua's voice. We know it. We know his voice is very distinctive. His voice is very distinctive. We know his voice. It's just like we can tell the difference between a horse and a zebra. How can we tell the difference between a horse and a zebra? Well, a zebra has distinctive stripes on it. That's how we can tell the difference from a zebra and a horse. Well, we can tell the difference from God's voice and the devil. God's voice is very distinctive. No matter how Satan tries to copy God's voice, he just can't do it. Because God's voice is very distinctive. God said we know his voice. Good God Almighty. We know his voice. And he said, and a stranger, good God Almighty, we will not follow.
That's right. We won't follow. We'll not follow.
We've got to listen to the inner witness. I'm talking about how to be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We got to be led by the Spirit. How are we led by the Spirit? Number one, we got to listen to that inner witness. listen to the Ruach HaKodesh. We know his voice. We know his voice. He's kept us out of a lot of dangerous situations. He's delivered us because we listened to him when we heard him. Some people might say, oh, I had a hunch. No, that wasn't a hunch. That was the Ruach HaKodesh. That was the Ruach HaKodesh telling you not to go to that place, telling you to stay at home and don't do anything today. Don't get on that plane. Don't get on that bus. That was the Ruach HaKodesh telling you not to mess with that person. Leave that person alone. They'll get you in trouble. That was the Ruach HaKodesh, that inner witness. He saved our lives many of times, and we just took it as being a hunch. Oh, I had a hunch. I wasn't. But it wasn't a hunch. It was God talking to you, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit talking to you from on the inside. Call it instinct. Some people call it instinct. It wasn't instinct. It was God. It was the Ruach HaKodesh on the inside of your human spirit telling you what to do, teaching you all things. Good God Almighty.
My God, my God.
How to be led by the Spirit. We've got to listen to the inner witness. The inner witness. He'll cause, he'll lead you to the point where you are rich. You are abundantly supplied.
Rich.
There was a man of God, apostle, there was a man of God, and he, God had sent him to this woman to be sustained, to be taken care of. And he got to the woman, and the woman said, I only got a little meal, and I was going to bake a few little cakes. And me and my son, we were going to eat the cakes and then die. But the man of God said, no, you fix me the cakes and give me something first. Take care of me. And that woman obeyed. She listened to God through that prophet. She listened. She obeyed and gave him a cake. And I tell you, she was taken care of throughout the whole family.
Yeah.
Why? Because she listened to the voice of God through that prophet. She listened. Tell you, and she was abundantly supplied. She didn't lack throughout the whole famine. She ate good, lived good, because she listened to the voice of God. I tell you, child of God, listen. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by him. He'll cause you to be abundantly supplied. He'll cause you to be rich if you listen to the inner witness. And that's what I want to share, Dr. Hahn.
Amen. Well, I tell you, Apostle, you have blessed me. I took up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've taken about 13 or 14 different notes. And I'm going to sit here tonight or tomorrow, and I'm going to study this. Ruach Kadosh.
Ruach HaKodesh.
Ruach HaKodesh. Okay.
Ruach HaKodesh. You know, like Ruach and then Ha, like Ha 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 Ha, and then Kodesh. Ruach HaKodesh.
HaKodesh. I'm going to be practicing it all night long. I'm sitting up there. I didn't want to act like I was mocking you, but I said, Ruach HaKodesh. And I said, that's what it's all about, being led
I just like to share, you know, I do have my papers from the college that I learned the introduction to the Hebrew language. I know how to write it. I know my alphabet. And I know how to pronounce the words. I've gotten my college paper from the introduction of the Hebrew language. And anytime anyone would, if I get a group enough people who want to learn the language, I'd be happy to Dr. Honor to set up a class at our church and set up a time. And you know what? It'd take about 5 weeks. Five weeks, and I could teach them the introduction to the Hebrew language. They'll know how to read it. They'll know how to write it. they'll know all the alphabets. Because anytime you can get the alphabets, and in Hebrew it's called the alphabets, but in English people can say the alphabet. You can learn the alphabets of any language. You can master their language, get to the point where you can speak it and you can read it. But the first step is you got to learn the alphabets. And I can show you your vowel markings, and I can show you how to write the letters. I can show you all that. I can teach you the introduction to Hebrew. But if it's a group of you all who want to learn it, just get with me. My telephone number. Can I give everyone my telephone number, Boss?
Yes, the open line. Do it.
My telephone number is 832-454-5062. That's 832-454-5062. I do have my paper. I do have my diploma in Hebrew. I am a lifetime student of the Hebrew letter. I can teach you your alphabets. I can teach you how to write the letters. I can teach you how to read the Hebrew language, which is God's language. It is the sacred language of Yahweh.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Sacred. That's why the brothers, they said, they wouldn't say G-O-D, they said J, because they had so much reverence and honor to God's name. But
that's right. Yud Hey Vav Hey.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to look and right up down the future. We can do this online and have people to come on Skype and have them to do what we have to do it. And you can teach where you are. We can see you. We can all learn. Well, let's you and I sit down one day and talk about it.
All right. I tell you, it's a beautiful language. The Hebrew language is a beautiful language. And I tell you that it'll keep you from out of air when you can learn the Hebrew language. Because during translation, a lot of these Bibles translated into different languages, they did the best they could. But the original is always better.
It's always better. Well, listen, I want you to tell everybody I love y'all and the peace of God be with you, okay?
All right. Peace. Love you.
Love you, too. Peace be with you.
Okay. Okay. Peace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Putting something on, that's all, baby. Putting something on. Yeah.
This is Pastor Paul. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation. I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing into your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and where there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. We're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive. the generational blessing. Above every name, the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I come to you now, knowing that in your name there is power, knowing that in your name there is deliverance, knowing that in your name there is freedom. I bring to you now every generational curse and every generational pattern of dysfunction and behavior that the enemy has tried to perpetuate through family bloodline. I bind the hand of the enemy and I curse them back to hell, and I decree that there will be a release of God's healing power, of God's delivering power. Heavenly Father, first of all, I come before you asking that physical legacies be broken. God, that infirmity that has passed through families, health problems that have run in generations, I decree now that there will be a release of generational blessing for healing. I come against high blood pressure. I come against glaucoma. I come against sugar diabetes. I come against strokes. I come against lupus. I come against sickle cell. I come against Parkinson's disease. I come against Alzheimer's. I come against every inherited, every passed down infirmity. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I decree that the 39 stripes that you took on your back shall be for a release of generational healing. Father, I decree that these infirmities shall not visit the next generation. And I decree that there will be a healing, that there will be a breaking of the curse, that the cycle will be broken in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift it up to you now, and I decree that there will be a touch, there will be a move. There will be a healing. There will be a deliverance in the name of Jesus. I decree it now and I call it done. I decree that healing. I decree that anointing that destroys that physical legacy that is passed down through bloodlines. I bind it in Jesus' name and I decree the healing power. Lord, I thank you that bodies are being healed. That even babies who are still in the womb would ordinarily come out suffering, I decree that they are healed now and that they will be born healthy, and future generations shall come forth, and there shall be no sign of the generational curse that has been in previous generations. I speak this into the realm of the spirit, and I decree that there will be a release of that generational blessing now. In the name of Jesus, I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse, and I release the generational blessing a physical restoration in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
I love again.
Now, Lord, I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind. that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of fear. I take authority over the spirit of inadequacy. I take authority over the spirit of condemnation. And I decree that there will be a release now in the name of Jesus. Oh, that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and that which I loose in the earth is loosed in the heavens. I decree that there will be a release of the anointing in the realm of the spirit. God, that your people will not be bound by the transgressions of previous generations. God, you said that even to the fourth generation under the old covenant, that the sins of the father would be visited to that fourth generation. You declared that there would be no Moabite who could come into the house of the faithful for at least 10 generations. But Ruth rose up and she broke that curse, and she declared to Naomi, she said, listen, your God shall be my God and your people shall be my people. God, I decree now that whatever curses and whatever spiritual dysfunction, whatever spiritual legacies have negatively impacted your people from previous family members, I decree that that bondage is broken now. And I decree that there will be a liberty and a deliverance in the Holy Spirit. God, even those things that we were not aware of, God, relatives who dabbled in the occult, those who walked in mysticism, and even those who dabbled in spiritualism, God, I decree that there will be a breaking of those curses, that there will be a binding of unclean spiritual influences. I also come against territorial spirits that control areas and that cause people in certain areas to react in certain ways. I come against it now in the name of Jesus. I decree that no matter the territorial spirit, even as you sent Michael and you delivered unto him the message of power that Daniel received, that the prince of the angels that Michael would war with the prince of Grecia and then with the prince of Persia, I decree that there will be a deliverance from the power of territorial and controlling spirits. God, I decree in homes and marriages that there will be a deliverance now. God, spiritual dysfunction where homes and marriages are unequally yoked. God, where husbands and wives are not walking in the unity of the faith. I come against that spirit. I come against that inequality. God, I decree that there will be a healing and there will be a restoration in homes and families. Satan, you hear my voice. Prophet of God, I have power over you and I bind you. I curse you and the blood of Jesus Christ is against you now. And I decree that there will be a breaking of spiritual influences. There will be a destruction of spiritual strongholds in the name of Jesus, that the actions of previous generations will not be allowed to keep us in spiritual bondage. I come against every unclean witchcraft, idolatrous influence. And I decree that there is deliverance now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I decree that that deliverance is complete and that the glory of your anointing is setting our spirits free. For your word says, he whom the Son makes free, surely he is free indeed. And now we give you the glory for spiritual legacies, for spiritual legacies being broken, for spiritual curses being broken. And now, Lord, I lift up to you even emotional legacies. God, some of us come from families where dysfunction is the norm. We come from families where arguing and lack of communication is standard procedure. But in the name that is above every name, I bind those spirits and I bind those influences. I decree to your people now that patterns of dysfunction, patterns of sexual dysfunction, even some have been molested as children and they've grown up with a distorted view of sexuality. They've grown up lacking trust. I come against those strongholds now and I decree that those emotional legacies will not carry to the next generation and that your people are being healed and delivered now. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise that even now there is a release coming, even of hurtful memories, of traumatic incidences that have been seared in the memory. Oh, your word says you make all things new, and I decree now that there will be a release, that there will be a cleansing of the memory, that the hurt And the pain and the tragedy of those moments will be washed away by the soothing balm of Gilead. For does not your word say that there is a balm in Gilead for the healing, for the breach of your people? And I decree that release now in the name of Jesus, that every social and emotional legacy will be broken. I come against patterns of dependency, drug addiction, those that are bound by alcohol, those that are bound by gambling, those that are bound by pornography and sexual perversion. I decree there is a deliverance. I decree that there is a release now, that the bondage is broken. Oh, again, your word declares that the yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. I give you the praise and I give you the glory that emotional legacies are being broken, that even now the freedom of your spirit, the glory of your anointing is breaking anxiety. It's breaking mindsets that have kept us in bondage. And I decree now that the majesty of your glory, that your power, that your anointing will surround us and flood our lives. Lord, I thank you that from generation to generation, your word is new, your word is fresh, and your tender mercies are fresh and new every morning. And I decree that the future generations, there shall be blessing. I come against even the emotional and family legacy of poverty and dysfunction in marriage, God, where there have been numerous marriages. I decree that that curse and that cycle is broken. I come against all dependencies, even to prescription medication. I come against it now. And I decree that there will be a deliverance, and I decree that there will be a liberty. God, some of us grew up in homes and families where people cursed and argued. And there was never any affection, and now we've grown up with sexual problems, sexual frustrations, and we're unable to express ourselves sexually, even in our marriages, even with our spouse, because of that legacy that has been handed down emotionally. But I decree that this shall be a day of healing, that this shall be a day of deliverance, that this shall be a day of breakthrough, that the power of the enemy is broken now. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we just lift your name on high, because we know that the generational blessing is being released to your people now, that the glory of your anointing is touching their lives. God, they will look back as they listen to this again and again, and the anointing that is released now, the glory that is released now. Oh, God, I thank you. They're going to experience it over and over and over again, and I thank you now that even the joy of the Lord, that even the power of your Spirit is ministering to them now. And Lord, we lift your name. We magnify you now, and we give you the glory, because we know that the work is done in the heavens, and it's going to be manifested in the natural. God, we thank you that the bondages are broken. We thank you. Oh, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, and we release the generational blessing. We decree wholeness. We decree abundance. We decree healing. We decree prosperity. We decree gifts and callings shall be manifested in your people, that your name might be glorified, that the kingdom of God might go forth. Oh, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I magnify you now, because you are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. And I say that there is none above you. You share your glory with none else. You truly are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the fairest of 10,000. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we call it done. Would you just rejoice with me now? Would you bask in that anointing? Just let the wave of glory sweep your soul. Oh, who can compare? There is none like him.
With the few of the Lord.
Don't you feel his presence right now? Can't you feel his anointing? Can't you feel that glory? Receive this blessing now, and know that generational blessing are upon you, upon your children, upon your children's children, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. God bless you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed is my prayer.
Matthew 8:1-3. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Jesus. And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, I know you're able to cleanse me. And having stretched out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I am desiring it with all my heart. Be cleansed at once. And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. Healing is not just an afterthought for the Lord. He is desiring to heal you with all his heart. Today we're the same as this leper, saying, Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to, but do you really want to? He is wanting to heal you with all his heart. God wants to heal everyone, just as he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, you have said, listen closely to your words, not to let them out of my sight, not for a moment, to keep them within my heart, because they are life when I find them and health to my whole body. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. You will bring me health and cure, and will cure me, and will reveal unto me the abundance of peace and truth. Is not your word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is an all-consuming fire that will melt away and burn off that which is not of God. It is a powerful, crushing force to break apart even the toughest and most stubborn sickness. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for you will yet praise him who is the health of your countenance and your God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. He will make an utter end of this sickness. Now this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that I've asked of him. I can declare a thing and it will be established for me, and light will shine on my path. My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth and in my life and in my body as it is in heaven. I declare that in all respects, I will prosper and be in health, just as my soul prospers. I will not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Lord, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for my feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Father, you did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall you not freely with him give me all things? Lord, if you are with me, who can be against me? You do not change. Therefore, I am not consumed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm not going to fear because I know you're with me. I'm not dismayed, for I know you're my God and that you will strengthen me. Yes, you will help me and uphold me with the right hand of your righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to my mortal body through his spirit who dwells in me. Lord, you take away all my sickness and will not afflict me with any of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate me. If I diligently heed the voice of the Lord my God, and do what is right in his sight, and I give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, you will put none of the diseases on me, which were brought on the Egyptians. For you are the Lord who heals me. You will restore health to me and heal all my wounds. You forgive all my iniquities and you heal all my diseases. My light shall break forth like the morning. My healing shall spring forth speedily. My righteousness shall go before me. The glory of the Lord shall be my rear guard. God, you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Have you not said, and will you not do? Or have you spoken, and will you not make it good? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want for healing. O Lord, my God, I've cried out to you, and you healed me. Lord, you will strengthen me on my bed of illness. You will sustain me on my sick bed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord, you deliver me out of them all. If I then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to me because I ask him? Surely, you have borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet I esteemed you stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. And by your stripes I was healed. Let it be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He himself bore my sins in his body on the tree, that I, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Because I know your name, I will put my trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken me when I seek you. I will not forget your law, and my heart will keep your commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to me. Because I wait on the Lord, I will renew my strength. I will mount up with wings like eagles. I will run and not be weary, and I will walk and not faint. To those who fear your name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and I shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Lord, you have highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus, I believe. I thank you that all things are possible for me. I have faith in you, my God. Because I have faith, whatever things I ask when I pray, believing, I will receive them. I will not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I will be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. Lord, you are able. Because I am born of God, I overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. My faith. I am of God and have overcome because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. For it is God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, I submit to you, God. I resist the devil, and he will flee from me. Devil, I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. I command all sickness and infirmity to go from me in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I abide in you, and your words abide in me. Therefore, I can ask whatever I desire, and it shall be done for me. I hold fast the confession of my hope without wavering, for you have promised, and Lord, you are faithful. Jesus, you said, have faith in God, that I can speak to the mountain and speak to this sickness and say, be removed, be cast into the sea. I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe that the things that I say will be done, and that I will have whatever I say. I bless you, Lord, with all my soul. I forget not any of your benefits. I thank you that you forgive all my iniquities, that you heal all my diseases, that you have redeemed my life from destruction. You crown my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with every good thing, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus carried my sickness and infirmities, and I cast out all spirits of infirmity that would attach to my body in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of premature death and destruction in the name of Jesus. I command every part of my body to function the way God intended it. My bones are fat because they receive the good report of the gospel. and I release the fire of God to burn out any sickness or disease that would operate in my body in the name of Jesus. For the Lord is the strength of my life, and Jesus Christ makes me whole. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. May the Lord Jesus Christ arise over my life with healing in his wings. The blood of Jesus bears witness with my deliverance, my healing, and my salvation. I receive the benefits of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. I receive healing and help through the blood of Jesus. Jesus resisted under blood, and his blood gives me the victory. And by his stripes, I was healed. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Heart disease, lung disease, cholera, rheumatic disease, tuberculosis, strep throat, malaria, leprosy, digestive disorders, intestinal disorders, fibrocystic breast disease, childbearing difficulties, toxic shock syndrome, hepatitis, measles, chickenpox, bronchitis, emphysema, osteoporosis, Parkinson's disease, gallbladder disease, influenza, encephalitis, smallpox, dysentery, thrombosis, angina, lung, hypoglycemia, diabetes, brain and neurological disorders, rabies, rubella, kidney and bladder disease, liver disease, pancreatic disease, lupus, bone and joint disease, plague, whooping cough, endometriosis, progeria, tumors, glandular disorders, Lyme disease, Crohn's disease, hypertension, parasites, viruses, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, mental illness, ulcers, Alzheimer's, blood disease, depression, TMS, malnutrition, malaria, rickets, scurvy, back pain, bursitis, tetanus, colitis, bacterial disease, inflammation, genetic and birth defects, cystic fibrosis, migraine, burns, muscle and skin disease, gynecological disorder, gum disease, Hodgkin's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, colitis, epidemic, anemia, allergy, fever, headache, stool, arthritis, psoriasis, leukemia, all curses, cancer, all infections, all addictions, all injuries, AIDS, sexually transmitted disease, pneumonia, cirrhosis, bacterial meningitis, muscular dystrophy, blindness and eye disease, poisoning, spider and serpent bite, and scorpion sting. I am the Lord that he was seen. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we were healed.
Amazing worship, and we want to thank Shannon and her team.
In this house tonight, we're on the Father's will right now, and it's not comfortable.
doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just tell somebody, look you in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
He sees, the tears you cry,
and he shares
your pain inside,
and sometimes
you wonder why he allows you to go through what you go just don't be
dependent on you. That's a good place to put those hands and get into prayer. Oh, I can't get no help with you. That's a good place to put that. Listen to the words. Your name.
Thank you.
And the day when I see Jesus is my Lord. God raised him from the dead. He was my substitute. He is my Savior. Satan has no power over me. Jesus is my Lord. I serve the one whose name is. I am the Lord who heals you. Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. For Acts 10 and 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus came that I may have a life and have it in its fullness. God desires that I prosper and be in health. My God is supplying all I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God says in his word in Joel 3 and 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. God says in his word in Isaiah 33 and 24, the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Therefore, I will not say it. I will say what God has said in his word. By his wounds, I have been healed. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Jesus says in Mark 11 and 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, mountain of sickness, be removed from me and be cast into the sea. You have to, because I command it in the authority of Jesus' name. According to Jesus, since I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe those things I say will come to pass, I will have what I say. Therefore, by faith, I will say these confessions. Hebrews 3 and 1 and 4 and 14 say Jesus is the high priest of my confession. So I will only speak words that I desire Jesus to say about me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, I will speak words of life. Jesus says in John 6 and 63 that his words are life. So I will speak them. Proverbs 18 and 21. When I speak God's word, I am planting good seed in my life. Luke 8 and 11. I will hold fast to the confession of God's word without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I do not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I am fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. I am not weak in faith, so I do not consider my own body above what God has said. I do not put my confidence in flesh. I am not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see, for I walk by faith, not by sight. I'm moved only by what I believe. I believe the word of God. Father, your word is truth. I will give attention to God's words. I will incline my ear to his sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I will keep them in my heart. They are life to me, for I have found them, and they are my health, healing, and medicine to all my flesh. Pleasant words are health, healing, and medicine to my bones. God's word of grace builds me up and gives me my inheritance. Jesus says, if I continue in his word, I will know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I have been called to freedom. Because I am Christ's, I am a child of Abraham. And according to Jesus in Luke 13 and 16, I ought to be loosed from all bondage today, because God shows no partiality. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. I am complete in Jesus, who is the head of all rule and authority. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in me, and I am not my own. I am bought at a price, so I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit. I present my body to God as a living sacrifice. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, no sickness, illness, virus, or disease can stay in my body. Every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every cell, organ, member, and system of my body functions perfectly, and I forbid any malfunction in the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. I am a believer. All things are possible to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is the strength of my life. I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Father has made me able to be a partaker of my inheritance. He has delivered me from the authority of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have my redemption through his blood. I am an overcomer, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am submitted to God by being submitted to his word, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. There shall nothing evil happen to me, neither shall any plague or sickness come near me. Jesus gave me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt me. I do not return evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessings, that I may obtain a blessing. I forgive others freely as God has forgiven me. I don't hold anything against anyone. I refrain my tongue from evil. I turn away from evil and do good. I seek peace and pursue it. So I will love life and see good days. I have a merry heart, and that does me good like medicine. I have cast all my cares on the Lord, for he cares for me. I refuse to worry about anything. I serve the Lord my God, and he blesses my bread and my water, and he has taken sickness away from me. For Jesus himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Christ, my Passover, was sacrificed for me. So all sickness and death has to pass over me and my household. I am blessed above all people. The Lord has taken away from me all sickness. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. The number of my days God will fulfill. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And
All right. Thank you.